Paul, I know every team has good players. Specific to the Avalanche, what makes that top line dangerous for other teams to handle?
Components of all elite things. Nathan MacKinnon maybe would have all three of those: extreme speed, incredible hands, and a physicality to his game. Landeskog has that physicality as well, and Rantanen's got some really high-end skills. So they're a real good blend of a game. MacKinnon clearly is a driver of that, but they each complement each other very well.
Talked about 5-on-5 chances and all those things a lot. Do you think other teams are defending the Scheifele line differently in the early stage of the season at all?
Relative maybe to the earliest stages of last season, I would say yes, right? We put up a lot of goals last year, so there's a respect factor there in terms of what they're seeing through the neutral zone, the numbers that they see. Teams aren't as willing to trade chances with that line. But that would just be the normal progress of a number one line, or players that are viewed will have the same respect for the Landeskog, MacKinnon, Rantanen line. The more you give them room to play on and enough time with the puck, they're going to score goals. So there's not a focus on our guys any different than we would put a focus on the other team's top players.
Not a lot of work for Connor because of the, before the break, before, after. So can we assume he's going tomorrow?
Correct.
So, Paul, on that note, that then we look at it's like a 16 or 17 day break before Laurent has played. I mean, how do you balance all that, because he's been so good?
Yeah,
for you?
I don't think we can now. So we'll look at tomorrow as the start of our season, because we understand the flow of the rest of the season. And then priority one, we got to make sure we get Connor into some games, get him back up to speed like the rest of our hockey club, and then start fitting Lauren in at the right time.
Have you been impressed with the way that he's handled things right from the start? I mean, he says that he learned a lot being Cam's backup, and that's where the maturity really kicks in for a young guy, realizing that he's been his number one the whole time since he's been 10 years old, and now it's a different makeup.
He's come in and been so very consistent with that personality and that approach. So this is the only Brassard we know, and he's got it right down, so that he doesn't seem to spend any extra energy or anxiety on when his next start is going to be. He comes in, practices every day, and the conversations we have about when he's going, the answers go, okay, great, and off he goes. So he's hit that maturity level at this point in his career that whether he gets an opportunity to be a number one guy in the future, if he has to carry the ball here for a long period of time, that injuries, whatever, that's possible. But he understands with Connor and the year that he had and the quality of Connor as a goaltender, there may be some stretches where he doesn't get in the net. But you can't see that any of that being processed in his practices. Right? He hasn't had a bad day. If it was, it wasn't a... some pucks got by him. He was the same energy level every day. That's what I think is allowing him to stay at peak. He made two or three just incredible saves here today. We saw that in day two and three of training camp. Been very consistent with that.
Well, we've seen the power play obviously been able to produce, but 5-on-5, you guys have still struggled to put up the goals, maybe with the consistency that we would have expected. Are the chances there? Or are you seeing... is this team generating enough in that respect?
If you block out our last five games, all the analytics now are right for us, except for our shooting percentage, which isn't something that it's very low, which we're not particularly worried about. I don't think our offensive game was where it needed to be in that first 7-8 game block. I think we built, but in the last five, we're starting to generate the chances that we need, the zone time that we need. So I think we're on the right track. Goals for right now is not a major concern. I believe they'll come, but we got to get real comfortable and good at winning some 2-1 games as well. So on the nights that Howard played the way he did in Detroit, that's a 2-1 game. We have a chance to win that game.
And I know that in Helsinki you had said that nothing was normal, obviously, about those games, but did you get a sense of Patrick on that Lowry line of seeing what you were hoping to see?
Yeah, you know what? It went almost exactly as we'd hoped. I'm still not convinced it's a long-term solution, but in terms of getting his game into a certain directness, because he does play off people well. He reads what the other guys are doing. There's a simplicity to his game. I don't know that they were related to the goals that he scored, But his game was right. How he moved the puck through the neutral zone, all those other things was good.
Just adding to Sarah's question there, is there a different is there a different role for him on that line, given that he now has two guys that will go and get the puck, and he can kind of be that F3 that will just kind of sit in the slot there?
I think what we found differently is that he changed to play more like them, so that he was in on pucks more directly than he was with the other guys. So he, in, you know, when he's playing on that playmaking line, he was kind of playing that style as well. We had three guys kind of playing on a perimeter. These guys play a more direct game. If it's not there, it's going deep, so you can keep your speed and get into straight line, you know, some physicality, find slot holes, and he's good at doing that. It's not a matter of him kind of sitting back and let the other two guys do the work. He got involved in the work. Maybe there won't be as many plays off the rush that he's used to, or some small area hands play, but I think he's trying to take care of that now. He beat a bunch of guys one-on-one, got in alone a couple of times in that Detroit. So we think it's rounding to the right area.
Is that just a byproduct of those guys working hard?
Right. So, you know what, Patty Laine would be maybe necessarily no different than Nikolai Ehlers in the change in his game. You know, he's playing well now. It's not a byproduct of Mark and Blake Wheeler driving his game. He's got himself skating. He's got himself playing well, playing his own game. We need each one of them to be themselves, and then you know, play the overall group. But what I found was they were kind of playing the other guy's game, if that makes any sense. They weren't doing what Nikolai Ehlers has to skate, and he has to sprint, and he has the ability to make plays at a high rate of speed. When that started, for him, it was more Nashville. I thought he started to come. His first few games were tough, and then he got considerably better, certainly after the LA game. But holding true to their individual identity and then fitting that into the team framework. Then we can move guys around more, right? We've moved players here in the first 14 games to try to get some guys going. I still have a lot of faith in Connor, Scheifele, and Wheeler. I got a lot of faith in Kopp with Lowry and Tanev. I like that. I there's a lot there. We had some individuals that I think were right, so we moved some players around to try to get them going, and their games seem to be going. As long as we're successful with the grouping the way that we've got it now, then we would leave it, but I wouldn't be afraid to change it as long as it keeps those guys going.
Both you and Patrick have talked in the past about sometimes, Patrick especially, that the way to get out of scoring slumps that he's had is to skate his way, to be fast, yeah. To get... It almost seems like he's a player of contrast in that what we see he does so well sometimes is kind of get lost in the weeds and slowly get out there, and we know how lethal he is when he shoots like that. How hard is it to strike a balance between playing a really fast game and yet finding the time to be quiet?
Picking the right times to do both. So when Patty's on his game, he's... It is a direct. He skates better than people think. When he gets to speed, he's a big, powerful man, which leads us to believe when he hits that 24, 25, when his full power comes into his body and his game, he will be a powerful skater. He may not be really quick, but he's going to be a powerful man. And then finding the spots. What you'll find as a shooter sometimes when his game isn't going right, he'll go to extremes with that style of game. I got to find holes so I can get my shots, but they'll never get their shots because they don't have control of the puck and they're not on the puck. They don't defend well enough without the puck, so that event doesn't happen enough. So what those guys need to do is just relax in the 5-on-5 game, run my routes, go as fast as I can, and then those holes will start happening with more frequency. They put the puck in the net and then they relax. Usually what will happen is when a guy's not going, as long as they're getting enough on the power play, right, they can kind of just be patient with their 5-on-5 game. That's a little bit of how I feel our team is right now. Our power play's been good. Our numbers for our offensive guys are good there. And we just need that 5-on-5 game to kind of get built.
So how much do you point to guys like both Blake and Mark are really good at that kind of diving into the play and
right.
Then also in the change of speed and right. Backing off and they find that little
right.
Hole. How much of an example are those guys for what you think Patrick needs
they're,
to
they're
do?
They're a bellwether for how we play our game because that's the entire idea, right? That when Mark and Blake are at their best, there's a lot of driving the play and then backing it off after. And for them or any player, in the style of game we play. The thing that we watch for most is we're backing off before we're driving the play. We're trying to fit pucks in, trying to make little plays before we've driven the pace, driven the speed, done the hard, heavy things that open up the gap that make all those plays happen. It's kind of like your power play again. When you're standing and you're trying to fit that seam as the first thing that you do, they're knocking that stuff down and your power play looks slow, nothing happens. But when you're driving, when our defense are pulling the puck hard to the middle, when the first idea is motion and speed, all those seams open up after.